Turn with me to the Gospel of Luke this morning. And we'll begin this morning in Luke chapter 1, reading at verse 26. We have been making our way through the Gospel of Luke, noting the prophecy that is involved in the Christmas story, the early part of the Christmas story. So we looked at the angel's prophecy. Last Sunday night, we looked at Elizabeth's prophecy. So this morning, we will look at Mary's prophecy, for she is with Elizabeth, and Elizabeth has just commended her and provided substantiation that she is carrying the Messiah, and we pick that up at verse 26. Now in the sixth month, this isn't right. We're in verse 46, should be. Well, I don't know if you can change that quick, that get in there. 46 to 55, he'll catch up with us. We'll go ahead, jump ahead there, verse 46. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. For his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." Thank the Lord. And as I mentioned, this was in the occurrence with Elizabeth and Mary. And God spoke through Mary. And one of the things we have then is Mary's prophecy. Now, I looked at this and I found 12 things that she said, 12 statements about God. And I thought, you know, I can organize these and I could put them into categories and that kind of thing. But I decided, let's just look at them the way that she has mentioned them. Okay? You know what that means? That means a 12-point sermon. But nobody wanted to eat this afternoon anyway, so we're fine. We'll start with the first. She said, "He regards the humble," verse 48. Boy, aren't you thankful for that? The Lord pays attention to those who are humble. And of course, in her situation, that's what she was saying. She was just a regular, ordinary teenage girl. Not anything special, not from any fancy background. And the Lord gave her the privilege of being the mother of Jesus. In fact, the whole Christmas event, helps us to understand how much God cares about regular, ordinary people and those who are humble. And so we should be also. Second was, he has done great things. Oh, I tell you, we celebrate this because he has done a great thing. The birth of Christ is a tremendous miracle referred to last week as well. But, you know, the other things that went along with it, the star in the sky, the dreams of Joseph, the various other kinds of things were a part of it. The Lord arranged great things. Now, aren't you thankful he hasn't stopped doing great things? And every person who finds Jesus as their Savior and their life is transformed experiences a great thing from the Lord. Holy is his name, verse 49. Holy is his name. That's true. Jesus is holy. And I thank the Lord for that. I could preach on that a long time, but I'm not going to. We're going to move through this really quickly. I think of the wise men who came and worshiped him, recognizing the holiness. He was holy when he was born. And even before that, actually. Then, merciful to those who fear him. We are thankful for the mercy of the Lord. And those who seek to serve the Lord can know the mercy of our Lord. Aren't you glad of that? Amen. We live in His mercy. And then she says, shows strength. Verse 51, He has shown strength with His arm and the mighty power that was involved. What would it be like to see the angels in heaven if you were the shepherds? I try to think of this every year in that situation. How would I react? I've never seen an angel that I'm aware of. But over and over again in Scripture, people see angels. They fall down. They are just overwhelmed by the amount of power and that which is evident, demonstrating strength. It says He has done or scatters the proud, the haughty, the arrogant. Say, where were the Jewish leaders? Where were those who had studied the Old Testament, who knew of the coming of the Messiah, who even understood that this Messiah would be born in Bethlehem? That's what they told Herod. They knew it. Where were they? How come they weren't there? Pride. The Lord scatters the proudful. Pharisees, Sadducees, we see on through Scripture. If you want to get put down, become proud. The Lord exalts the humble, but He brings down the proudful. Proud. Puts down the mighty, as I just said. Brings them down. Herod thought he was being so clever in this whole thing, and yet God protected Jesus from Herod. Brought Herod down. The mighty. Exalts those of low degree, as she said in verse 52. They tell us that shepherding was one of the lowest kinds of jobs at that time. And yet it was to the shepherds that they brought the announcement. Isn't that amazing? You know, if people were doing things, they would arrange some big media event. They would arrange some big announcement with all the big shots and so on, but that's not what God did. He exalted those of low degree. And He still does today. Thank the Lord. Fills the hungry. Now, verse 53. He's filled the hungry with good things. I don't know if she understood that in a short time period from this, when she said this, that she would be receiving, along with her husband, gifts of gold, and frankincense, and myrrh. That she would receive the provisions that were necessary for them to provide for their living expenses, make the trip to Egypt, and so on. That God would miraculously provide that. Have you ever thought about the fact Mary and Joseph were concerned about regular, ordinary things like we are too? Like how to pay the bills, how to put food on the table, those kinds of things. They had to make that trip to Bethlehem, and they could only bring what very little things they had. And so what would they do from there going forward? But God already had it arranged. And He'd take care of meeting their needs. Thank the Lord. The rich sent away empty. I'm not exactly sure if this refers to the wise men. They came and gave their gifts to Jesus and left without them. But you know, the Lord helps us to understand that He takes care of those who have need and protects them and provides for them. And she said in verse 54, He has helped His servant Israel. Yes. That word means to lay hold of in order to give support. And Jesus brought salvation to Israel. Now, the sad thing is that so many rejected Christ. But in that rejection of Christ, God had a greater plan, and that was to open the gospel to everyone. That was His plan from the beginning. And so, not only helped Israel, but helped everybody else as well, including those of us who have gathered together today to worship Him because our lives have been changed and transformed. I ask you this morning, how has the Lord helped you? Now, if we had time, we would be able to share testimonies of how God has helped and has helped years back, He's helped even in the present right now, and He will help in the future going forward. That's who we serve. Thank the Lord. And one of the 12th thing, that God keeps His promises. Verse 55, as he spoke to the fathers. The whole event of the birth of Christ is just, a lot of it, so much, you see the fulfillment of prophecy. Hundreds of years ahead of time, God prophesied the different things that would be occurring, and he keeps those promises. And as I reminded us last week, he keeps promises, all of his promises. And Jesus is coming again, and that promise will be kept. Oh, I know there are skeptics. I talked to a pastor one time who told me he did not believe in the second coming of Jesus. I talked to a pastor who told me the second coming of Jesus was when people accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Came at Bethlehem the first time, comes the second time, your heart when you accept Jesus as Savior. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible has promised that our Lord Jesus will return and we will see him. And I don't know when that will be. Nobody knows when that will be, but we need to be ready. But I want to remind you, this was so important to Mary. As I mentioned last week, Mary was given the promise that this child would be born. With all of the things that would then go on through that pregnancy and those kinds of events, there was a promise she could hang on to. This will be accomplished. And while she may not understand how or the details that be worked out, I wonder how many times she went back to that promise given to her when they had to make the trip to Bethlehem, when there wasn't a place to stay that was convenient, and when they had to flee to Egypt and so on. The Lord was in this, God was watching, and the promises would be fulfilled. And I want to remind us today, the promises will be fulfilled. God keeps his promises. Thank the Lord. Well, I tell you, that's 12 statements about God. I remind us that Jesus is the Messiah. Not bad for getting through 12 points in that amount of time. I'm thankful that Jesus is the Messiah. And I'm thankful that we go back to the very way she started. My soul magnifies the Lord. And my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. That's why we're here today, because our soul magnifies the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Christmas is about, as well as our lives all the time. And my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. Do you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior? If not, you have missed the heart of Christmas. But I'm thankful. He desires to be your Savior. Jesus has come to change people's lives. We thank the Lord for the changes that come. He changes people's lives. Aren't you glad the Lord's changed your life today? It was in December. On the third day of December in 1902, that this man was born. He was born in Japan. Mitsuo Uchida, I believe is how you say his name. Grew up, joined the military, Japanese Air Force. He turned 39 in December of 1941. Just a few days after his 39th birthday, he led a raid. He was the one who was commanding the torpedo planes, the dive bombers, the fighters to Pearl Harbor. 80 years ago on Tuesday of this week, the Japanese Air Force attacked Pearl Harbor with one mission: destroy the American Pacific Fleet. Had our carriers been in Pearl Harbor at that time, that's what they were after. Thank the Lord the carriers were not there. You know the story. And this man was leading the air raid. Called it one of the most momentous events in his life. As he was able to shout back over the radio, "Toro, Toro, Toro, success, we made it." Sinking those ships, leaving Pearl Harbor devastated. Headed on with the imperial mission in mind, continuing through the war, was at the Battle of Midway, made it through the war, but But unfortunately, they lost. They didn't exactly understand that. The emperor was supposed to be God and couldn't figure out how he would lose. He was supposed to go to a meeting. And at the last minute, he was detained from attending that military meeting in Hiroshima. Because of it, he was spared. All of his comrades that were at that meeting, of course, lost their lives. He went the next day after the bomb had been dropped as a part of the military to see what in the world had happened and the devastation. He was a part of that party inspecting. Everybody else in that party died of radiation poisoning. He did not. He couldn't figure out why he was still living. What in the world was the purpose in life? But let me tell you a companion story. 80 years ago on this Tuesday, when that day that will live in infamy was announced over the radio, there was another young man in California on KP duty, and his name was Jacob DeShazer. He heard the news, found out the devastation, and decided it is time to get even. He volunteered, wanted to be a pilot, became a bombardier, joined up with the secret Doolittle raid. You're all aware of the story. They're the Doolittle Raiders. And as they left one of the carriers, their mission was to bomb Japan and let Japan know that we could reach them. And then they were to fly on to China. But unfortunately, most of them ran out of gas before they made it to safety, including Jacob. And Jacob was captured. He spent 40 months as a prisoner of war, tortured in a Japanese POW camp. He'd been there 25 months when finally a shipment got through from the United States. You know what the shipment contained? Bibles. Well, not having much else to do, he started reading the Bible. And God, through his word, spoke to Jacob's life and his heart and helped him to know there was a better way to live than with the hatred and the revenge. And there in a Japanese prisoner of war camp, Jacob found Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. The story of Christmas became real in his life, and his life was transformed. Another 15 months he endured as a POW there, and finally was released, of course, at the end of the war. So what did he decide to do with his life? He decided to give his life to Jesus as a missionary. He would carry that tremendous life-changing story. Where would he carry that story? He would carry it to Japan. And this one who had been in a prisoner of war camp, who Jesus had brought about the understanding of forgiveness and love for people, went back to Japan with the gospel message that Jesus changes lives. Well, what'd he do? As you can see, speakers on the car did different things and preaching and so on. He also wrote some gospel tracts and different things and gave them out. And it just so happened that on one afternoon, he was passing out tracts, and it just so happened that he didn't realize it, but he ended up handing a tract, a pamphlet that he had written entitled, I Was a Prisoner of Japan. And he gave it to Mitsuo Fuchida, who took the pamphlet, read it, and it started an intrigue in his heart. I had mentioned he wondered why he was still alive and why he was still living, and he had no purpose in life. But as he read that gospel pamphlet, and then he was curious, and he got a Bible. And then as he was reading through the Bible, he came to the message about Jesus Christ and how Jesus changes people's lives. And he accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, transforming his life. It is interesting, I don't have all the dates, But when he came to the United States, one of the people who wanted him to share his testimony about going from being the commander of the air unit that destroyed Pearl Harbor to becoming one who is now proclaiming Jesus Christ as Lord of Lords, he became a preacher of the gospel. Somebody who wanted to share his testimony was a guy by the name of Billy Graham. And he came to the United States, shared his testimony, in fact, became a gospel preacher and preached across the United States numerous times, sharing the transforming gospel of Jesus Christ. I'll tell you what, my spirit rejoices that God is my Savior. Two men, opposite sides of the war, both found Jesus as their Savior. Jacob went back to Japan to preach the gospel. Mitsuo came to the United States, crossed the country, preaching the gospel and pointing people to Jesus Christ. Jesus came to change lives, and he's still in the business of changing them today. We serve a great God. You know Jesus? If you don't know Jesus, you have missed the heart of Christmas. But if you do, we rejoice with Mary as she said, "My soul magnifies the Lord." And we do so this morning. Will you stand with me? With our heads bowed as we close this service, Lord, we are here because you have changed our lives. And our souls magnify the Lord. And we rejoice in God our Savior. Thank you. Oh, we have different testimonies, and maybe our story isn't as dramatic as Jacob's or Mitsuo. But in every case, it's a transformation by the gospel. Christmas story found real in our lives. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed before we dismiss this service this morning, is there anyone here who doesn't know Jesus as your Savior? You can. If you're carrying that heartache, if you're carrying a spirit of revenge, if you're carrying anger, or if you're carrying that bitterness, whatever sin, whatever kind of thing it may have you enslaved, but you can be free because of Jesus. He changes people's lives. Before we dismiss this morning, if there's anyone like that, would you just so indicate by lifting up your hand? Anybody like that here, just put your hand up, back down again this morning. In a moment, we're going to dismiss the service. But I wonder before we go, if in our own hearts, each one of us can say to the Lord, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." Lord, I pray for your blessing on your people. May you always be glorified and magnified through our lives. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen.